Namaskar.
Bienvenue.
I'm from Bangalore, India.
Dublin, Ireland.
Turkey.
The Philippines.
This is Feet and Tours.
I came here to study.
To work. To volunteer.
Build a life of my own.
Welcome to Feet in Two Worlds.
Esto es Con los Pies en Dos Mundos.
Bir ayağım burada, bir ayağım orada yaşıyorum.
Welcome to Feet in Two Worlds.
For generations, New York City public schools have faced the challenge of helping newcomers assimilate into American life, and immigrant school teachers have been on the forefront of that effort. I'm John Rudolph, executive producer of Feet in Two Worlds. Today, we're going to tell you the story of Pauline O'Brien. She's an Irish immigrant who came to the U.S. as a teenager. Pauline never imagined that she would have a career in education, but now she's the assistant principal at the High School for Medical Professions in the Canarsie Educational Campus in Brooklyn. Many of the students at the school are immigrants or the children of immigrants, and Pauline brings insights from her own immigrant experience to help them. Joining me now is Peter McDermott, an editor at the Irish Echo newspaper. Peter, you interviewed Pauline O'Brien for Feet in Two Worlds. Tell us about her.
John, she's from the rural county of Tipperary and arrived in New York City in 1990 at the age of 19. She worked in various jobs, as a nanny in bars and restaurants and so on. So she didn't actually become a teacher until her mid-30s.
Her career choice really recalls the historic role of Irish immigrants in New York City public schools and in public education generally.
Yes. Back in the 1920s, as many as a quarter of all New York City public school teachers were Irish women. And if you go back to the 1880s, there was still a lot of lingering nativist sentiment, and a lot of people were unhappy. The anti-Catholic and nativist anti-immigrant people were very unhappy with the number of Irish people teaching in the schools, in the public schools. And in fact, there was reports in the New York Tribune where they would list the various names of teachers, particularly in Lower Manhattan, and point out not too subtly the number of women called Mary, the number of teachers called Mary, and wondered whether this was the right type of people to be passing on American values to school children. And then jumping 100 years later after that report in the New York Tribune, you have a huge wave now again into New York City and America, but not this time, not just from Europe, but from all over the globe, every continent. And the Irish were still part of that, but not to the same numbers, but still a significant part of that. And Pauline was part of that new wave.
And this time around, Irish school teachers were more welcome than they had been a century earlier.
Yes, not as many of them, but yes, they were welcome.
Peter, the U.S. has long been called the land of opportunity for immigrants, and most people take that to mean economic opportunity. But for some immigrants, America also offers the opportunity to reinvent themselves, and it sounds like that's exactly what Pauline did.
Well, Irish people don't reinvent themselves, John. Rather, they would say they found or discovered their true vocation. But yes, that's what she did do. That's what New York gave her the opportunity to do that. But before that, she did a variety of service-related jobs. She cleaned apartments, minded children, worked in bars and restaurants and so on. Eventually made her way up the ladder and became a restaurant manager. So after about 15 years, Pauline stepped back and said, "What do I want to do with my life?" Well, she took stock, and it helped the fact that she was doing some volunteer work with HIV positive adults who wanted to get their GED. She was helping this charity. That was one thing that helped her, in her soul searching. And much later on, when the opportunity presented itself for her to be a teacher, but in taking stock, she decided to go to college. Went ultimately to LaGuardia Community College, where she got an associate degree in business, and then on to Baruch College, where she got a degree in sociology and English.
And then she entered something called the New York City Teaching Fellows Program, and she talked to you about that.
I had looked at the program, the New York Teaching Fellows Program, but I think also, more importantly, that I had, in the early 1990s, read a book called Savage Inequalities, written by Jonathan Kozol. And in that book, it outlined different districts within the United States and how education was funded, Yonkers being one of them, which was kind of close to home here in New York City. And I hadn't realized up to that point that public education here was funded based on property taxes. So for me, that was a huge shock, having come from Ireland, where there was a national curriculum and everybody had equal opportunities.
Pauline's transformation from restaurant manager to teacher, John, is all the more remarkable because, as she admits herself, she wasn't the most stellar student back at high school in Ireland. She didn't get passing grades in math or the Irish language, which were basic requirements to advance to college.
But once she was here in New York, she did get a lot of encouragement and counseling from organizations that were set up to help Irish immigrants.
Yeah, the Irish immigrant centres here encouraged those that they'd assessed to be college material and who had missed out for whatever reason back home, encouraged them to, you know, look at various university and college possibilities. And in fact, possibly the most famous of the centres, the Emerald Isle Immigration Centre in Woodside in Queens, produced a pamphlet that helped people apply for colleges and also look into financial aid and so on.
So where did Pauline end up after her teacher training?
Queens initially in elementary schools, and then before she moving on to where she is now in Brooklyn.
And what were her early experiences like?
Well, she told me, John, that on her first day she was absolutely terrified. She was assigned as a co-teacher in a classroom with another teacher who wasn't very happy with this arrangement, although the head teacher had told them that they would be equal voices, but the younger teacher, as she was younger than Pauline, didn't like working with Pauline and also another woman who was there as a paraprofessional to help with one child. So there was a lot of conflict. Also, she remembers on the first day that her colleague lined up the boys on one side and the girls on the other, and Pauline immediately objected to that. But ultimately, they became friends. But she remembers that first year as being particularly challenging.
What about Pauline's background as an immigrant? How has that informed her teaching style, and how has it helped her? Has it given her insights into teaching immigrant children?
Yeah, she believes that absolutely it does, because being from Ireland, she can identify with people from the Caribbean because, you know, both the Caribbean and Ireland were from both part of the same far-flung empire. And she says that the English system, as she describes it, is she can understand and empathize and know, she knows where the parents and the teachers are coming from because the structure is very similar.
And it's very different from the American system.
Yes.
And you asked her about what she meant by the English system.
Yes. I think in the English system, the expectation is that kids learn to read and that they learn to write. And a lot of it still encompasses rote memorization, which isn't necessarily the way to go in education, but at times it does have a place in education. It's very structured. The expectations are that the kids will learn how to spell. And I think discipline is also a huge part of that. The expectation is that you are in school to learn so that you can have a better life.
I asked Pauline whether there were special difficulties in teaching immigrant children, and as expected, as you might expect, John, she said that it was a particular challenge teaching children who had just arrived and who had very little English or no English at all, because in New York State, the expectation is that, you know, you get a high school diploma, but also includes passing the English Regents exam.
So it's very challenging because you're trying to deliver the content in a language that the child doesn't understand, and you're trying to supplement that content with their native language. And you can see in the students that they are very, very frustrated. Although New York State does translate some of the Regents exams into Spanish or Creole, for them, it's difficult. It's heartbreaking at times.
Peter, how does Pauline keep herself motivated in what is clearly a very challenging job?
Well, when I probed further about her decision to become a teacher and whether it turned out to be the right one, she revealed something about her personal philosophy.
So reflecting back on what I had done and in the work that I had done throughout my undergraduate degree, I think in Baruch College, because, you know, my major was sociology, and looking at social change and looking at the impact that poverty and that the lack of education had on kids in this country, it was a kind of an easy decision to make in one sense. I didn't really know what I was letting myself in for, but it was a good decision.
You know, John, you can make a pretty decent living managing a restaurant here in New York City, and Pauline was, and she had to take a big pay cut even to go to college. And her story, I think, shows that somebody from an immigrant background brings a unique quality to teaching in a city of immigrants. But what struck me really most about Pauline O'Brien was her passion for teaching. This surely is something that we would like to see in all of our teachers.
Peter, thank you very much.
Thank you, John.
Peter McDermott is an editor for the Irish Echo and a Feet in Two Worlds Education Reporting Fellow. You can read more about Pauline O'Brien at feetintoworlds.org. The producers for this segment are Dimple Patel, Jocelyn Gonzalez, and Sarah Kate Kramer. Our engineer is Chad Bernhard. I'm John Rudolph. Thanks for listening.
Feet in Two Worlds is supported by the New York Community Trust and the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, with additional support from the Mertz Gilmore Foundation and the Cyrus Fund. This program was produced in association with the CUNY Graduate School of Journalism and CUNY TV. Feet in Two Worlds brings the work of immigrant journalists to public radio and the web. We are a project of the Center for New York City Affairs at the New School. Visit our website at news.feetintoworlds.org